Kids are gone. So I'm not going to announce, hey, kids, you can go. Hey, one thing, Lexi Winger asked me to give a announcement, yes. Tonight at North Woodbury, what's it called, Lexi? Community Youth Group, CYG, makes sense. 5 o'clock, how long? 5 to 7. They're going to meet this week. So if you are in grades, is that high school only? 7 through 12, and you have a free evening, Community Youth Group at North Woodbury tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, thank you for being here. We feel your presence. We know that you are here, Lord. Lord, I just ask you today to just shut my brain down and use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, so that you get everything out there that you want to have spoken today. This is not anything that I do or any of the guys do. It's all for your glory, and it's all your words, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So, what a week, huh? Yeah. Well, Thursday I went to work because Coca-Cola said, yeah, you go to work. And it was okay. But you know, about noon, it started getting pretty greasy. And in Marion, in the city of Marion, they must not have snow plows. They believe in salt, but I don't know if they have snow plows because there's like 2 inches of slush just covering all the roads. So I know they salted, they just didn't plow it and clean it up. So I dealt with that, and then I drove to Waldo and Cardington and Marengo, and I don't know, it's about 120 miles. By the time I got done with my route on Thursday, I was like, my arms were tense because I just felt like I'd been fighting that crud on the road. So I came home Thursday and just vegged out in the chair. And then Friday morning at like 4:45, I get a text message that's in our work group that said, nobody is going out today. And I thought, well, that's weird because my wife has her own interpretation. She told me I wasn't going Thursday. And she had an email fired up to the president of the company, who's a Christian man, telling him of such. I wouldn't have wanted her to send that or what I wanted to him to receive it. So Friday I got to stay home with Shelby, because Shelby got called off. They closed, and the school obviously closed, so it was kind of a cool day. And then yesterday morning is my day that I thought, man, I don't have to be anywhere till 8 o'clock. Have to have the dog at the vet. Well, at 5:20, Chris's phone rings. It's Shelby, and she's stuck. She was going to Delaware to a volleyball tournament, had to be there at 7, but had to go out to the complex at 95 to get volleyballs and get to check the entry fees. Well, they hadn't plowed the drive, the parking lot. So I picked on Morgan about her car thing. I'm going to pick on Shelby. She's not here. Shelby's interpretation of taking off in the snow is as fast as you can go. She had that car so buried, there's no way she was getting it. So I went out. Tried to get it out, couldn't get it out. I forgot my shovel. I said while I was getting dressed that this is me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to get that shovel and put it in my car so I can shovel around her wheels. I was getting dressed at 5 o'clock in the morning. Me just don't mix. I forgot the shovel, so I'm using my. I did put my barn boots on, so I'm using my boots to shovel. And then I had to run to the Duke store and grab their one bag of cat litter that they had, a little 3-pound bag. You know, that little 3-pound bag got her out and got her on the road. The roads were fine. It was just a matter of, but yeah, I could go on, but I pushed and I told Shelby, just ease into it. Well, I heard the engine go, vroom. I said, ease into it. You know, I'm behind the car and I'm still covered with snow. But we got her there. She didn't call me this morning, so there must not have been any issues. So praise God for that. But it was nasty Friday. And Matt said we just got a little bit of snow. 18 inches where he was working. Yeah, it's just a little bit. We got a lot of snow and it was heavy. Praise God for that, because you know what we need? We need this weather to be cold and gross and snow, because we need everything to die. All this crud and this crap, just kill it off. You know, so when we start spring, we can be fresh and move on. But anyway, so I had time Friday, and actually I had the message longer than that. Morgan actually did a paper on Mark 5. She has a biblical studies class this semester, and she did a paper on Mark 5, and she called me one night and said, "Dad, I need you to go over my paper with me. I have to have it in front of me and read it." She's telling me how it is. I said, "Morgan, it means nothing to me. I need to see it because I need to proofread it. I need to fix your Morrow County English, all that." So she did. She brought it home the last time she was home, and we went through it. And it turns out she got 100% on this paper, and the professor said, "That was really well written, and you have a pretty good understanding of this passage." And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool when your kids do stuff that, man, I wish her anatomy professor said that 100%. She doesn't. But we're going to be in Mark 5. And it's a story we all are pretty familiar with. But the title of the message is, "Do You Believe?" And you're going to look at me like, "Matt, would we be here today if we didn't believe?" The answer is, no, you believe, so you're here. But I want to know if you really believe. Because are you able to just turn over your problems to God? But I like to have control. Yeah? And while you have control, you're still floundering. God wants us to turn them all over. So we're going to go down. And the whole chapter is great. We don't have enough time. I only have 42 minutes. So we can't do the whole chapter. We're going to start in verse 21. But you know, I think it's funny how the passage that Les used ties in with this. Because it's Matthew 11, 28. And I think you can read into 25 as well, 25 through 28. That's a neat passage. I'm going to get started, because if I start rambling, it'll be bad. Jesus raises a dead girl and he heals a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Guys, this is the belief I'm talking about. Jairus knew his daughter was dying, but he knew there was one way to fix that. So he went to Jesus and said, "I know you can fix her. Please come heal her. She is dying." Do we have that same belief in our God to fix our money issues, to fix our marriages, to fix our children's attitudes, to fix my attitude? Sometimes we just want to hold on to that stuff. Guys, this is a synagogue leader, probably a religious dude, right? Thought he was, okay? But he knew enough, so I'm going to say this guy was one of the good ones. He knew enough to come to Jesus and say, "Please heal my daughter." Now, I don't know the background had he tried all the witch doctors and all the other stuff and all the taking her to the temple and sacrificing sheep and sacrificing chickens and sacrificing doves, I would assume. This was kind of my vision of Jairus, is this is kind of his last ditch effort, but he knew it could be done. He never gave up his faith. But my thing is, why did he wait? And I don't know that he didn't. I'm not saying he didn't. We're going to learn about somebody who didn't for a long time. So that's Jairus and his daughter. So Jesus is on his way to save this girl, to heal her. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. So we're not talking about Jesus just walking down the street with his disciples, right? And there's no real good way to show you this other than these people are wall to wall. You know, it's side of the street to side of the street people. And that amazes me that Jesus was in the middle of all that. He didn't have to be. He didn't have to be. But the other important thing I want you to understand is it's not like Jesus stayed in that town. Jesus came across by boat that morning. He had to have time to himself and his disciples. So he went away from all the crowds. And when he came back, the trouble was there waiting for him. That trouble never goes away. Anyway, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, just to be clear, this wasn't a cut on her finger. Okay, she was having her woman issue for 12 years. 12 years. I'm a little bit of a professional at that, knowing what that would do. Not a professional because it didn't happen to me, it happened to Chris. 3 months. 3 months. And when she went in, she was basically having a heart attack. 3 months. This is 12 years. So we understand the severity of this young woman's problem. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And I laugh at this story because I'm telling you, these doctors, sometimes, if you're a doctor or somebody, sorry, but we treated with medicine, didn't get better. We treated with a small surgery. Didn't get better. Instead of just doing what he should have done the first time, we had 3 different stints with this. And that's in 3 months, 4 months. This woman dealt with this for 12 years. I don't know how. It's a miracle. The miracle to me is she's still alive. There's a lot of miracles going here. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch Jesus' clothes, I will be healed. 2 things about that. Number one, this woman's face is incredible. Okay. Number 2, how in the world did she get to Jesus? Because we already know it was packed. It was packed. So she slithered her way through that crowd. This is my vision of it. She slithered her way through the crowd. And when she got to Jesus, what would have been dragging behind? His cloak. I mean, kind of like my jeans are too long. So Jesus' cloak was dragging on. My vision is she falls to the ground and reaches out and touches the very edge of his cloak. That's pretty impressive faith. Let's go on. immediately. Her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Listen, guys, it doesn't say 3 days from now. It doesn't say a month from now. It says immediately her troubles stop. That is the power of our God. And that is the power of a little bit of faith. So that's why I ask, do you believe? Because do you believe enough to reach out and touch Jesus' clothes, knowing you'll be healed? I think for some of us, probably me included, no, me included for sure, I might go, I might scope it out, and I might reach out and touch him, but I don't know if I fully believe. Understand, it wasn't necessarily the action that healed her. It was the knowing that it was going to happen is what healed her. It was her faith that healed her more than our actions. So our actions, we can do whatever we want. But if we don't know that Jesus and God are taking care of whatever it is, that's why I love the when you are taught to pray, you say to pray boldly. God doesn't want us hemming around. Well, Jesus, you know what? I could really do better if this. No, God wants you to come and say, Lord, I have a problem. I need you to take care of it. Not me. I need you to take care of it. That is this woman's faith. Now we're going to read on. This is how powerful our God is. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, can you imagine? I don't know, maybe the disciples had a ring around him where nobody touched him. But if it's as packed as what they say it was, you're getting bumped and jostled around, and you were trying to walk, and people were bumping into you all the time. This dude knew that somebody touched his clothes because why? Because he lost a little bit of power. Because he felt his power go to that woman and heal her. That is the God we serve. Can you imagine being a woman and having the Savior of the world stop in dead tracks? Say, somebody just touched me. Who was it? Let's read on. The disciples' answer is just what I would have probably answered. You see the people crowding against you, Lord, his disciples answers, and yet you ask, who touched me? The disciples are like, what, who are we following? Who is this guy? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Guys, it's simple as that. But we want to argue that God doesn't have time for me. God doesn't have... His yoke and his burden is light. It's his words. Our burden, we think, is heavy. He will take it. He will take it. And it's still light because he's God. He's all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring, all the time. He is God. and she was healed. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, a synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" So now this has a situation, this has the potential to become a riotous situation. Because I'm sure Jairus wasn't the only synagogue leader who was there. You know, if Les or Jesse or Matt or anybody in this church has a problem, guess what? There are more than one people there carrying that problem. So Jairus had support system, I'm sure, around him. And I guarantee some of these guys were mad that he stopped to talk to this woman that had no importance, but as excuse me. But the synagogue leader's daughter just died. Jesus, he was a cool cat, man. He was a cool cat. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Guys, do we have a situation in our life right now, today, that God's telling you, "Don't be afraid, just believe"? Let me ask you another way. Do you have kids? You have a wife? Yes. You have a house payment? Yes. You have a car payment? Yes. Those are all situations we're worried about. Why? God's going to take care of them. God is going to take care of them. Do we have health issues? Check. Turn them over. Turn them over. He is telling this guy right here, "Your daughter's dead, but don't worry about it. Just believe." Verse 37, "He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly." Okay, there's a couple things I want you to take out of that. That's, again, Jesus' power, because he left, what, 9 disciples behind? Hey, why do we think he did that? I don't know. These are 3 that he trusted. These are 3 that had already earned his trust. These are 3 that he knew also needed to see this. Okay? Maybe they were wavering a little bit. Maybe they were struggling with something. These 3 needed to see what was going to happen. But can you imagine being the guys that are left behind to deal with that crowd? That crowd didn't stop. I mean, they had to be stopped. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, I got that. And then the second thing I want you to take from that is all the wailing. Well, yeah, there was a little girl that died. There's going to be wailing. There's going to be crying. There's going to be, you know, Les is he told me today he's doing a funeral that sometime. And he's, you know, he talked with a guy last week, and the guy said, "This funeral's not about me, it's about him." That's pretty cool. I don't know if Jairus would have thought the same here. If they're having to prepare this funeral for this daughter, I don't know that Jairus is going to think it's all about God. Right? Let's read on and see what happens. Why all this commotion and wailing? And this proves to me Jesus has a funny bone in him or something. He walks into this house and he says, "Why are we all crying and wailing around? This kid is not dead. He's asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. So not only did he kick, you know, aunts and uncles and grandmas and everybody out, anybody that was there, any other synagogue leaders, any wives that were there preparing foods, anything that was going on. "Hey, you guys gotta go. I want mom and dad and these 3 disciples. That's it." He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." I didn't have the privilege of waking my daughters up a lot for school. But if I went in and grabbed their hand and said, little girl, get up, now, forget it. Listen, here's how Matt wakes them up. He turns the light on, and he yells, okay, it's time to get up. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, or something stupid like that, right? Not Jesus, man. He just went in, grabbed a little girl by the hand, and I can just envision him saying like this, little girl, get up. Pretty powerful. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At that point, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Because that's our God, too. He is not looking. He is not performing miracles so that we praise him more. He wants all of us, all of our heart from the get-go. He doesn't, there's no such thing as 150% of your heart. All he wants is 100%. He wants us to believe in him, trust him, love him, and turn it all over to him. It's not anything less, anything more. But Jesus could have went, hey, I want Jairus, I want you to use this on Sunday when you're in the synagogue. Or when next time you're in the synagogue, I want you to use this. I want you to spread my word. Spread my love. But he didn't. Why? Because Jesus was in the period of time where he was teaching everyone everything. These were very, very Christian or infant Christians at this time. Even the disciples. These guys just came off fishing boats not very long ago. They had a lot to teach in a very little amount of time. So where are we going to go with that? Here's where we're going to go with that. Our God can do anything. Our God can do and fix anything. Okay? He knows the lack of hair on my head. He knows every hair follicle I have, all of us have here, by number. You don't think he can fix a little money issue? You don't think he can fix a bad attitude? It does for me about every day. It does for me about every day. But you know, when I take him for granted and I don't ask him to fix my bad attitude, you know what happens? That junk just keeps piling on me and my attitude gets worse. Until I say, okay, God, I got it. I have to come to Jesus meeting. Remember I've told you before, I don't get a little tap on the shoulder. I get that 2x4 in the back of the head. Because that's what it takes sometimes to wake me up. You know, those little tap on the shoulders, I make fun of them. They're my kids. We learn a lot from our kids. Okay? I had a conversation with my mom the other day, and I don't know, we were talking about Shelby getting stuck and whatever, and Mom makes a statement to me. She said, yeah, your kids never don't need you. You know, that's about right. I'm 50 years old. I still call my dad, Mom or Dad, every day. Chris still talks to her mom every day. I still call my dad with issues that I can't fix. Guys, we need to call our dad with issues we can't fix. We may think they're small and they're trivial. Listen, they're all small and trivial to him because his burden is light. No matter how big our problems are, his burden and his yoke is light. And he wants your problems. He wants us to be dependent on Him. Not on our government, not on our spouses, not on our kids, not on our parents. Dependent on the one and only that came down and lived for 30-some years and then willingly was put on a cross to die for you and me today. 2,000 years later. But to top it off, He not only died, but then He rose because He wanted us to know that you're going to have, if you believe in Me and you trust in Me and you love in Me, you are going to have eternal life with Me. Eternal. I got a little funny to kind of tell you the definition of eternal. I'll have to pull it up. You know, the Facebook is great because I get all these little memes and stuff, and it's, I just use it for comic humor. I don't very often post anything. But this is something that somebody shared, and I thought was kind of cool. On the first day, God created the dog and said, "Sit all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. The dog said, "That is a long time to be barking. How about only 10 years, and I'll give you back the other 10? And God saw it was good. On the second day, God created the monkey and said, "Entertain people, do tricks, and make them laugh. For this, I'll give you a 20-year lifespan." The monkey said, "Monkey tricks for 20 years. That's a pretty long time to perform. How about I give you back 10 like the dog did?" And God, again, saw it was good. On the third day, God created the cow and said, "You must go into the field with the farmer all day long and suffer under the sun, have calves, and give milk to support the farmer's family. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, "That's kind of tough life you want me to live for 60 years. How about 20, and I'll give you back the other 40? And God agreed, and it was good. On the fourth day, God created humans and said, "Eat, sleep, play, marry, and enjoy your life. For this, I'll give you 20 years. But the human said, "Only 20 years? Could you possibly give me my 20, the 40 the cow gave back, the 10 the monkey gave back, and the 10 the dog gave back? That makes 80, okay?" And God, "Okay," God said, "you asked for it." So that is why for our first 20 years, we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. For the next 40, we slave in the sun to support our family. For the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit on the front porch and bark at everyone. Life has now been explained to you. There is no need to thank me for this valuable information. I'm doing it as a public service. And if you are looking for me, I'll be on the front porch. So we laugh, and I use that, but guys, our life, we don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have. You know, I see people that are 103 years old, and gosh, I don't want to live that long. I don't want it to be dependent on someone else to have to care for me. You know, and while I'm not ready to go yet, if that day comes, I'm not afraid of it. You know why? Because of that. It's because I serve a God that I know I'm going to spend eternity with. And that's pretty cool because I don't deserve it. So as we're going to finish up today, we're going to have a song, and Les and Jesse and I will be here. And you know, if you don't know how to place that kind of faith that that woman had in your Jesus, if you don't know how to trust that much, if you've never experienced God's love, today's your day. Today's your day. If you want to start a relationship with Jesus, and you want to start a relationship with our God, and you want to be faithful and have the faith that this woman had, today is your day. Come talk to us. If you have needs, prayer needs, we obviously love to pray for you all, and we love to be able to know how to specifically pray, because if we can't boldly ask God for your for help in your situation, and we're just praying, hey, pray for Matt today, you know, understand, I pray for all of you every day. But if you have certain needs, we need to know them, because I want to pray boldly, and I want God to just take care of them. Because I know the people in this church are not going to say, oh, yeah, look what I did. They're going to say, hey, look what God has done through me. This is the power of prayer. That look at what God has done through my church, and his people. And that's what it's all about, is community. Jesus was serving a community back then. And we all have that act of service, that servant's heart. We just have to find it. So if you need anything today, come forward. If you don't want to come forward, get with one of us after church. We'd be glad to talk with you, stay and pray with you, whatever needs to happen. We're not any closer to God. Guarantee you, I am probably the furthest one here that's here today, furthest one from God. But I know how to get there. And it's falling on my knees and saying, God, forgive me. And God, take this burden from me. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the examples you've given to us in your lifetime that we can apply to our lifetime 2,000 years later. Lord, we love the faith of this woman that was very, very sick, but she knew all she had to do was reach out and touch you. Lord, that's all we have to do today, is reach out and ask for your hand and ask for your help, because you can fix any of our problems, Lord. We thank you that you sent your son and he died on that cross and he rose again from the dead so that we can have eternity with you, Lord. All we have to do is choose. In your name we pray.